right. Well, speaking of music, when you hear that music, you know it's time for us to break open God's holy word in the Psalms. And today we're looking at Psalm number 5. Psalm 5. Of course, Psalm 5 is in book 1 of the Psalms, Psalms 1 through 41, and therefore the Psalms attributed to David, the greatest king in the history of Israel. Why was he the greatest king? He was the only one that never worshipped another god. Right? That's why the Acts of the Apostles calls him a man after God's own heart. And so let's see what's on David's heart as we break open this psalm. Psalm 5. And so the first verse is the prescript. And it's very simple. For the choir master with flutes, a psalm of David. So David wrote the psalm, gave it to the choir master, one of the members of the musical guild of the Jewish temple, to put the music. And it says with flutes. So David had in mind how he wanted to hear this psalm. To him, this psalm sounded great with flutes. So he said to the choir master, when you put this to music, make sure that this, we have a flute accompaniment to the song. That's awesome. I love when these prescripts give musical details like that. Again, emphasizing that these songs, psalms were intended to be sung. Great. So verse 2. To my words give ear, O Lord. Give heed to my sighs. Attend to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. You know, so Lord, listen to me. Hear my prayers, Lord. You know, I'm speaking to you now heart to heart, maybe through some tears, maybe through some strife, whatever's going on in my life. Lord, listen to me right now. Okay, this is beautiful. This is conversation. You know, listen to me right now, Lord. Verse 4, to you do I pray, O Lord. In the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I plead and watch before you. All right, so it's to you that I pray. I'm not asking people in this world to solve this problem of mine or deal with this issue. I'm asking you, the Lord of the universe, who loves me, who initiated that life of love, who gave me life, who planted that desire for him in my heart, that you're the one I'm praying. I'm acknowledging you as Lord of my life. And right now in this morning, because obviously this psalm is prayed in the morning, right? I plead and watch before you. In fact, this psalm is prayed during week 1 of the psalms as part of, I forget if it's part of vigils or lauds, but beautiful prayer. It continues, you are no God who delights in evil. No sinner is your guest. The boastful shall not stand their ground before your eyes. Right, so this relationship is for people whose hearts are open to receiving everything that God wants to give. Okay, so those who do evil are separating themselves from God, but Lord, I am aligning myself with you. Not those who boast in their own riches, who boast in their own achievements or accomplishments, who boast in the possessions that they have. No, my boast, Lord, is in you. Not in the things of the world, but in you, God. Continues. All who do evil, you despise. All who lie, you destroy. The deceitful and those who shed blood, the Lord detests. Right? So David here is reflecting on the fact that it's the righteous that receive blessings from the Lord. Not that the evil can't receive blessings. They're just not open to receiving them. You know, so again, he's the language sounds a little harsh here, but remember, he's putting human attributes onto God, right? So God is a God of love. God is a God that's all good. And so this all-knowing God, he's giving this human response, almost like a human emotion. You despise this, Lord. You want to destroy this, you deceitful and those who shed blood. You detest. So he's applying these human ways of expression to God and his reaction to evil that's happening. In verse 8, yet through the greatness of your merciful love, I enter your house. I bow down before your holy temple in awe of you. Oh, what? I love that line. Yet despite everything that's going around in the world right now, Lord, everything I could be stressed and worried about, through the greatness of your merciful love, hesed, right? This great merciful love, I enter your house. So you can interpret that many different ways. You can enter, in the heart space, the house of, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And what do we allow in the temple? We allow God into the temple of our souls, right? Or we can say, I enter into your temple, going to adoration, going before our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity. I enter into the house of the Lord. I bow down before your holy temple in awe of you. I love that we're in awe of God's greatness and God's majesty, of God's omnipotence and his omnipresence. We have nothing to do but to fall on our knees before the Lord. That's the only response to his generosity, to his love, to his mercy, is to fall on our knees and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I love that. In awe of him. Verse 9, lead me, Lord, in your justice because of my foes. Make straight your way before me. So, Lord, as I'm navigating through this life, because remember, our ultimate home is where? Heaven. Our ultimate end of our journey is home. And where is our home? Not in this world. Our home is in heaven. Our home is before God in the beatific vision, face to face with God forever. That's the goal. That's where we're trying to get to. And so David here is asking the Lord in his justice to make straight his path so he doesn't get sidetracked by the things of this world. And he goes back to his kind of little bit of attack on the evil here. Verse 10. So who are the people of the world? No truth can be found in their mouths. Their heart is all malice. Their throat a wide open grave. With their tongue they flatter, right? So they're speaking a good game, but they're not. Their words don't match their actions, right? Then nothing would come out of their mouth but lies. They're double tongued, right? They're worshiping themselves and they're stroking their own egos. They're not worshiping God, all right? That's what David's saying here. And again, he wants God to condemn them. Declare them guilty, O God. Let them fail in their designs. Drive them out for their many transgressions. For against you, they have rebelled. Right? So, David is saying, God, show your justice right now. Oh, my goodness. How many times have we felt that? We're looking in the world. We're seeing tremendous injustice. We're seeing abortion. We're seeing all these the transgender stuff. We're seeing all these laws that are being passed that are just absolutely insane. And I just saw something the other day about this athlete who won, who's trans, he's actually a male but competing as a female, who just blew all the other women away, and won these races. Of course he did, because he's a man, and how people can't see the injustice in this. And so David is saying, Lord, do something about this, and because he has confidence that God is a God of justice.
Yeah, and we oftentimes, I know I want the justice now, and then I want it the way that I want it, and then when it doesn't happen that way, we're like, come on, Lord, this is a bigger deal, when, again, he knows what's happening, it's his timing, it's all those things. But going back to your thoughts on being in awe of God, I love the idea of us not applying, for a while, there's fads of words. So awesome, right? That was my generation. Everything's awesome. The concert was awesome. That pizza was awesome. And then we say awesome God or in awe of him. And is pizza as good as God? What's the new awe word that we can apply that doesn't end up losing its value because we applied it to eight other things?
Yeah, because words mean things, mm-hmm. and if you use a word too much, it loses its meaning. It becomes ubiquitous, and it takes it out of its proper context. We should be in awe of things that awe us.
Yeah.
For example, sometimes I'll see an incredible sunset, or my wife and I, we have our anniversary trip coming up. We're gonna see some amazing sights as we take the train across Canada. We're gonna see some amazing, awesome sights. And why are they awesome? Because they come from the hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made. Or when I hear Eddie Van Halen playing, it's like, whoa, my goodness, that was awesome. Why? that talent was given to him by God. You see? So when we say, well, pizza was awesome, yeah, pizza was given to us by God, I could say. But if you get a slice of New York pizza, that is from God. That is from, no question about that. That slice is from God. how awesome is that? I'll tell you. So the last couple of verses here in Psalm 5. I love this, the way David ends, right? And so he starts off asking God to hear his prayer. He says, God, I want to reach into your heart, so my heart joins to your heart right now. And Lord, as I look around me, I see people who are despising you, who are literally almost spitting in your face by the way they live and act. So contrary to your divine law and to your divine will. Lord, you know, in your justice, you know, deal with them. You know, because I mean, and just like we get frustrated, we see like, God, why aren't you doing some human trafficking? God, why aren't you doing something about this? Why do these children continually have to deal with this every day? You know, but he says, all who take refuge in him shall be glad and ever crowd their joy. You shelter them, in you they rejoice, those who love your name. It is you who bless the just one, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.